From the backstretch at Saratoga, this is Loose on the Lead with Steve Bick and Seth Merrill. Loose on the Lead is sponsored by Thoroughgraph, everything you need to win. Visit Thoroughgraph.com. The new Colonial Downs and the Virginia Equine Alliance. Hill and Dale, home of perennial standouts. Curlin, Kitten's Joy, Midnight Loot, and emerging stallions, Violence, Byron, and Army Mule. Visit hillanddalefarms.com for consignments at the 2019 yearling sales. Case Supply, the kitchen and bath professionals across upstate New York. Showrooms in Syracuse, Auburn, and Amsterdam. Make your dream kitchen and bath a reality. Visit casesupplyinc.com. And McMahon of Saratoga, standing breakout stallion, Central Banker. Number one in New York and among the nation's leading young sires. Visit McMahonThoroughbred.com.
A very good Sunday morning. Welcome to Loose on the Lead. Steve Bick along with Seth Merrow. And a little different, rather than some instant review of the week, we're going to dive right into yesterday's absolutely fabulous day. The Vandy, the Dandy, and the Bowling Green. And you want to talk about a Saratoga Dandy? How about Louis Carvajal with Ray Mamone's Imperial Hint? Comes back to Saratoga and tears it up again. The first time in the history of this race course that a horse going 3/4 of a mile broke the 108 mark. 107.92, a 114 buyer, a repeat Vanderbilt win. Louis, congratulations.
Thank you, Steve. Amazing. It's hard to even talk about it. I still think I'm floating a little bit on that race. Amazing.
This horse, he's 6 years old now. You've had some ups and downs, and you've had to bring him back from a couple of challenges, some physical and then some travel issues. You had a very interesting exercise with him after Dubai, and let's jump into that before we watch the race and we talk about the specific effort, because he basically got a freshening down at Fair Hill, and it seems to have really been a big part of having him this ready for yesterday.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the shipping to Dubai over there is not as bad coming back. Coming back, it's a little longer, and lucky I'm a friend with Chad Summer. We had Mind Your Biscuits, and he told me, Louis, if you want to have a good horse for the rest of the season, you got to think about Fair Hill, send it to Bruce Jackson, and he'll do a great job. And I talked to Mr. Raymond Mamone, and he agreed with it. And when that horse came from Fair Hill, from Bruce, he looked like a tank. And I was like, hysterically happy the way the horse looked when he came back. I said, well, he looks like I'm going to have a nice horse for the rest of the season, and everything went well.
It even take us back to the start of the season, because the performance at Tampa had to be alarming. I mean, he's a horse that's run fresh well. So bringing him back in that little $75,000 Pelican, and to have him as dull as he was, although it's a little unfair to, you know, he did run into Killy Beggs' captain, who's been in great form with John Terranova. So he did get beat by a real horse. But you had to be a little unnerved.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I went to that race. He was training super, like he always does. He worked some bullet works. Antonio Gallardo worked his horse, and he worked great, like always does. So I was expecting to see a good race, like, you know, with Dust, and especially at Tampa, he likes that track too. And see him dropping back and not get into it, and I got worried. Of course, we came back, we look at the horse, everything looks fine. Into the following day, he had heat on the foot, and it looks like it was a bruise, and that was kind of an excuse, because I have no excuse at all. It was like a really, one of those days that you worry about if he's already done or something. But I think that was a major problem. He was not comfortable running that day. Something happened, or it was before the race, we couldn't catch him in time.
He only had basically 5.5 weeks to get ready for Dubai. I mean, were you ever questionable about going?
No, of course we did. I mean, I talked to, luckily, Dr. Chip Johnson, we've friends for a long time. We looked this horse, and it was a concern if the horse was going to be healthy to Chip, and we worked with the horse. We did many things to get him right, and luckily we did, and that's where we made a decision with my mom and the vet, and we went to Dubai.
Well, good third in Dubai, wasn't getting to XY Jet, but ran a very credible race in the Golden Shaheen. Now you come back, you take that freshening exercise, the spa treatments down at Fair Hill, and you come back to Saratoga and repeat as the Vanderbilt winner. And talk about yesterday's effort, what you were expecting, knowing that Vitoli was going to be the horse to beat, and you were going to have to run probably a career best to beat him.
Oh yeah. Well, we were not sure. I wasn't sure if we were going to try to run in the Vanderbilt or the Tail of the Cat. We talked it over with Mr. Mamon, and we decided to run the Vanderbilt. He said it to me. He said he had a good feeling to run it on the Vanderbilt, so that's what we're here for, the Vanderbilt.
And from what I read yesterday, you missed a workout last week in Monmouth.
Yes, we did, because of the track. It was sloppy, and unfortunately I couldn't work them, but
didn't seem to be a negative, as you were seeing here. How long did it take you to realize this was a track record?
Just a couple of minutes. I saw a time somebody said that it was track record, and then I paid attention to it. Because you don't go, and the first thing you see, oh, I broke the track record, look how fast it went. That comes next. You know, you're just trying to take in that race
sure.
right now, and then you look at that, and it was, oh, that was amazing.
Well, and you are and have been consistently just in awe of what this horse has done. He's a smaller horse, for starters. He's not a big, physically imposing type.
He looks bigger today.
Well, he's always, always as he has another grade one. But he has done nothing but keep the best company now for 3 years. And you're going to go back to the Breeders' Cup, obviously. He's been second and third in it the last 2 years. First time, right? Because he didn't run in it at Santa Anita.
It was at Del Mar the first time.
Del Mar.
He finished second against William
H.
And then Churchill. At Churchill, which unfortunately the little rocket doesn't like Churchill that much.
Not so much, but he didn't. He certainly didn't run badly. The opportunity to go to Santa Anita, you would feel like this might be of the three Breeders' Cups, this might be the right, maybe the most advantageous strip for him. Running over, certainly down at Monmouth, I know that the former trainer that's doing the grounds, Bill,
what's his name?
He had a good sprinter too. We used to talk to him all the time. Bill Anderson.
Bill
Anderson does the track, and Monmouth is a heavy. It's been. I know some trainers have actually even been a little unhappy over since Bill took over, because he keeps it a little slower than.
It used to be a very speedy track, but Billy is doing a great job. I mean, he has a good cushion track, and I would stay well apart, which my horse used to love. Trained up parts. He always did well on that, and then move into normal parts. And he does handle it very well now, and just like I say, it's good. He worked last week. He was worried that it worked, because this is a horse who worked in 59 and change for Faid.
When I saw
that work a minute and 2/5, I was a little worried. And that's why I said I was a little worried, but
it was still a bullet.
Yeah. But and then I called the clockers, and I said, I know that I have my clock. I got my stopwatch 47 for half a mile. I said, he works in 59 a hand. I said, a minute, but I said, no, Louis, we got him a minute, but gallop out in a minute. I said, okay, now I understand.
Oh, so they gave him a 5-furlong work.
Yeah. So he was a gallop out. So probably worked faster than that. So I was happy. You always worry. Being a trainer, coming up from Dubai, months without running, you always think that you might be not quite as sharp like you need to be. Because for this reason, the Vanderbilt, running against Asmussen, Mitole, you need to be sharp and you need to be fit enough. And so you always have that in your back of your mind if it's ready or not.
Let's pull up last year's Vanderbilt, because that was your first grade one win, right?
Yeah,
so
you
come first grade one win. Again, Imperial Hint's going to be the number four here last year and wins by a chart margin of 3.75 last year. So your first grade one at Saratoga. Do you get a sense when he comes up here? Is he kind of a horse for a course? Does he appreciate the atmosphere up here?
Well, last year when we came, we didn't know how he was going to take this track. And the way he did it, I was like,
look at him.
Yeah.
This is unbelievable.
It's like a replay
of yesterday. Yeah. I mean, for him to drown these horses the way he did, and this is Castellano the same way as yesterday, just in hand. And he came up to them. It wasn't like he was, you know, really being implored. He basically cruised up to the leaders, went on by. And so for him to break the 108 mark, and you know, these are records. For those that haven't seen the specifics, Spanish Riddle goes back to 1972 when they didn't have hundredths of a second, so it was a 108 flat, and then Spitestown winning the Vanderbilt himself, Spitestown in 108.04, so they shared the record because there was no hundredths for Spanish Riddle. These are old records, and they run a fair amount of races at three-quarters of a mile here, and a couple of grade ones every summer. This is one of the great all-time performances in Saratoga history.
Yeah, it's going to go down certainly this year as maybe the top performance of 2019.
No, that's great. I mean, for me, we have a small stable. This is one of the greatest moments. And like I said, again, you know, I told you already, coming back to the winner's circle and hear all these fans and people cheering for him. My family being here, and it's just, you know, it's great to see the people into it. I got so many tweeters, people calling the little Rocky Man, and it means it's like, you have fans, and this, we need more people like this, you know, it feels good.
That is worth mentioning. They brought the horse back, they ponied the horse back right in front of the clubhouse and the grandstand, and there was a lot of applause, because I think people realize track record, and as you say, that had been a track record for a long time. I think they really appreciated the performance.
Well, and we also should talk about how popular you are and how happy people are that are, I don't want to call them insiders, but people that are stakeholders and close to the game. Sean Clancy, as we were waiting, was talking about you and he in the hot box. You both had one mount one afternoon at Philly. You know, you last year when this horse emerged, the outpouring of excitement and pleasure for you and for Mr. Mamon, for Ray, who couldn't be here. He's okay. Is he okay?
No, it's fine. He's right. Just you know, that trip over here is a little tiring, and I think it was more comfortable for him to be close to his house and go watch his race. And I talked to him after the race, and I said, I wish you were here so you could see this. Last year it was our first grade one with this horse, but this year it was a little different. He should have been here, but I talked to him this morning. I let him know how the horse came back, and it looks good. He eats really good. His dinner. And first time I called him and I told him, and he was happy. He was just still like celebrating, probably back home.
He's now 13 for 22, and he's a $2 million earner.
Yes, sir.
And I guess it's worth mentioning, he's not only is he Imperialism's best son, he's always going to be forever. They say that every stallion gets at least one good horse, and Imperialism, he's gotten a couple, but not the like Imperial Hint, and it's unbelievable. And, you know, and he is an entire horse. This is not a gelding that is continuing to just pluck along like some, you know, older sprinters. I mean, he's going to go to stud somewhere.
Yeah, well, definitely. I mean, I was talking today to Mr. Brocklebank. He did ride that horse, what's it called, that dancing, and I think he's a great grandfather of my horse, and he has blown, and they just look like it. If you put a picture of that thing and put a picture of Imperial Hen, they're about the same size.
Really?
I think that's when he was 15-1, and they just look like it. So it's some pedigree there, and I just hopefully will find a good home for him when he becomes stallion.
Well, not to make specific suggestions, but you got to think between the success in New York And the fact that, you know, you're Jersey based, as is Ray, the resurgence of New Jersey racing and, you know, the new stability that we're going to see in New Jersey, a place like New Jersey might be a good place. There's going to be a lot of mares brought in, or some sort of a regional, you would think, a regional stallion opportunity awaits him, although I imagine that Mr. Mimone is having a lot of fun, you know, watching him run.
Oh, of course. I think if the horse stays sound and he keep performing the way it is, you know, you always look forward so he can compete. You know, most of the time we wanted to keep competing with this horse when they come 4, 5, hopefully into 6, but, you know, when they have a good blow line behind them, of course, you know, you want to retire them early because it's a lot of money involved, but, you know, this is good, you know, people, you have a little fan there, and then they get to see him next year and next year.
Exactly.
It's good.
Plot your course to the Breeders' Cup, and I'm just going to assume you'll try to win the Bosberg again and head to California.
We're going to try to follow the same path we did last year, so hopefully we'll go back to Belmont and run a bar race and hopefully the Breeders' Cup.
Got to also fold in Javier. No knock on Antonio Gallardo and Jose Ortiz. Mm-hmm. However, and certainly Pimentel when he rode him early in his career, but he and Javier clearly have a certain touch together.
Of course, they become one. The first time I tried to put Javier on this horse, I was in Phillip Park, and I called his agent and I said, I have this horse, it's a nice horse, I want to run him in the allowance race, it's Derby Day in Pennsylvania, can you ride my horse? And he said, well, let me talk to Javier. What's your name? So he then ran my horse and he won. And since then, Javier is tiny, it fits right on the horse.
Yep.
So it's like they come one. It works great. And so I was glad to have Javier back and this horse too. Like, Jose is a great rider. Antonio too.
He won
on the horse. So
I will say, I printed up a chart today, and there you are, track record on the chart, and so his name will be around. Given what we saw with Spanish Riddle, as they print up the chart and the program for many years, I assume Imperial Hint will be in there.
I talked to my wife, Janina, and I said the same thing. I said, this is great, he won, but, you know, now, every time you open the program, we're going to see Imperial Hint. It's my name, Mr. Mamon. This is great. I hope it stays there for a while so we can come back, and every time he'll be there, my name and Imperial Hint will be stamped here. So I told him.
Well, certainly in the history of this racetrack, and I'm just trying to think about repeat Vanderbilt winners alone. Because I was looking at it yesterday, and you know, yesterday I sent out a tweet early in the morning. You know, this race was originally created in 1985 for a phenomenon, which was a terrific, terrific sprinter that went wrong the year before in the four-go with Angel. And Angel Pena trained a phenomenon. And in 2000, they renamed it for Alf Vanderbilt. But a phenomenon himself was a scary, good sprinter. I always, when this race rolls around, I'm not a big fan of renaming races. When you have a generic race, like the Belmont Sprint Championship, which was renamed for John Neyrud, you're not paving over anybody's memory when you change the Belmont Sprint Championship to the John Neyrud. But when you change the A Phenomenon to the Vanderbilt, you're sort of, you know, forgetting the reason the race was created,
right,
which was to honor, you know, this, you know, the horse in question. The same thing down at Laurel. Pimlico, what they did with the Hirsch Jacobs, and they renamed it the Chick Lang. You want to name a race for Chick Lang? Create a race for Chick Lang. It don't pave over the memory of Hirsch Jacobs. A Phenomenon was remembered a little bit yesterday, and he was a lot like Imperial Hint. There were some similarities.
I just came up with a list here, and other than the first 2 years, there was a horse Cognizant that won the first two runnings, but this is the only other repeat winner in the Vanderbilt.
There you go.
Great. That's great. More stuff in the books.
Exactly.
Louis Carvajal and the Imperial Hint story as a Vanderbilt repeat, A Vosburgh repeat try is in the offing as well, another historic race, and then a Breeders' Cup sprint try, and maybe you're like Kona Gold. It took Kona Gold to his fourth try, but he finished fourth, third, second, and then won. So you finish second, third, you got to win.
I hope so. You know, we just got to keep faith and positive thinking, and we go from there, you know.
Keeping him healthy and happy. Absolutely. Louis Carvajal. And you can follow Louis on Twitter, Carvajal Racing.
Vow to Honor, yes, sir.
That's right. Not Carvajal Racing, Vow to Honor.
Yes, sir.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we've got a little bit of review to do, and we've got visits from Dean Reeves and Randy Hill. We'll talk about Tax winning a wild Jim Dandy, a little of everything going on. We'll talk about the dead rail as well, and some kind of lost wanderers, some jocks. You were a jock. How quickly were you aware of dead rails?
No, not really.
You go once in a while. Well, Philadelphia, when you're in Philly, nobody rides the rail.
No, nobody. Every time I met on the track there, yes, sir.
Back after this, Loose on the Lead.
Recent study of some of the top online wagering sites, Capital OTB won big in total player rewards, far surpassing some of the best-known wagering sites in America. While other rewards programs simply offer you points redeemable for gift cards, Capital OTB's rebates are paid to you in actual cash. Plus, Capital OTB gives you full and immediate access to your money. So if all you're getting now are points and gift cards, join Capital OTB Player Rewards today and get cash back. Visit CapitalOTBBet.com and sign up today.
Welcome back to Loose on the Lead, Sunday morning, live from the Saratoga Batch Stretch. Steve Bick, Seth Merrow, and before we go any further, I have to compliment you. Nice jacket.
Thank you. Thank you. There's not going to be sack of sport goats. Just FYI. Sacatize is one thing.
I'm not fitting into your sport coat anyway. So the ties, yes, the sport coat. I'm thinking that wouldn't work either way.
Tina, I'm sure Tina is watching. This was Tina combing the internet.
So when I compliment that, she's home gloating now.
Yes, she's gloating anyway.
Very good.
She takes credit for anything that happens to me that's good, anything, if I ever look good at a certain moment, it's all Tina. If I do something silly, stupid, ridiculous,
it's all you.
All me.
Very good. All right, should we jump into yesterday? And I don't know which one that I have first. I called up a couple of replays, and one of them was, I had the Bowling Green
yesterday. Bowling Green,
but then I had the Curlin from Friday as well, so we'll watch both of those.
Okay.
Called for the Bowling Green first. I like Jamcat underneath, but I had it to kick off a pick three. I didn't like Tax enough to continue the pick. My picks this meet have just something in the middle of every one gets me. But I will say I always kind of take a wait and see with the horses from South America. But Ya Primo, pretty good. The three horse there on the rear on the rail, who actually goes by Channel Cat a couple of times. Channel Cat comes back on him a couple of times.
Yep.
Arklow, the number one horse, who I like, makes a nice late run to just nip Channelmaker for third. But boy, that was a gutsy performance from Channelmaker. As I say, you don't see him come back too often once, but he did it twice in the stretch.
Talked and listened to Todd Fletcher afterward. This is a really, really venerable type of horse now.
Yeah.
He's trackable. He can, you know, he took the lead here. And how about a little tip of the cap to Luis Saez? And let me just look at, I don't know if I've got, do I have Friday? Was it on Friday with Bo Bell, maybe? I think it was. I think it was Friday with Bo Bell. I think it was on Wednesday with Rinaldi. He did it for us, for our horses, Williams Lucky Gray twice and Pretension once. He goes to the front with horses that have any bit of tractability and tactical speed. If he senses that the rest of the colony is asleep at the switch and the gates open, Saez grabs them by the throat and he holds them off, and then he invariably, a couple of different times, going into the turn, he'll start to spurt away, and all of a sudden everybody's desperate. And then he'll maybe lull them, and then he does it again at the top of the stretch, and everybody is gutted. He is unbelievably good. We talked about him last week. Saez is just riding at the highest level right now, and with this type of a horse, this was a brilliant maneuver, and when that 115 went up, you knew that this horse had a chance to go coast to coast. And in the meantime, when you got a field of 13, you got to figure the five or six horses that would be normal competitors are just not going to get there by virtue of traffic, including Sadler's Joy. I like Sadler's Joy coming into this, even off the layoff, and Castellano had plenty of horse, but had nowhere to go. And that's what's going to happen when you got a big, bulky field. So unless you were in position to make a run, and, you know, certainly Channelmaker and Yo Primo and others made those runs, but boy, oh boy, Channel Cat showing that English Channel determination. And anybody with an English Channel, send it to Todd. Todd has got a bunch of these ever since English Channel, and continues to just get a lot out of them. He sort of is in tune with their aptitudes. Now, I thought this was really impressive. Career best 102 buyer. Speed figures don't need as much on turf races, but it's still notable.
He hadn't fired a triple digit.
No, that's his first. That's his first.
And he was kind of a little bit, like I said, I had him at the bottom of my mix, but I thought he was live certainly at the price, but certainly had to improve a little bit given what we've seen earlier this year, but did yesterday look really good in that bowling green. And while you were talking, I pulled up the current jockey stats. Jose Ortiz on top with 18, Luis Saez second with 14, and Castellano 13, a couple down there at 10 in the fourth and fifth positions. Hi, Rob Ortiz. And Joel Zara, I should tie for fourth. First in the blue size, and we're going to be second currently. All right, let's go back to Friday, look at the curling, because clearly that'll play into the Travers a little bit later on. I like looking at Bikinis. Looking at Bikinis is going to wind up third, took the lead early, could not hold on, though. Looking at Bikinis is the three horse, as the even money favorite. Endorse ran really well for Kieran, the number seven horse, but the winner is number eight, Highest Honors, the other Chad Brown horse. He trained looking at Bikinis, but also trains Highest Honors. Third career start for this one. Nice win Friday in the curling. Wins by a chart margin of a length and a quarter, 4-1. As they say, the number seven endorsed is right there until late, just gets a little tired perhaps at the end of this one at 8-1, but I thought it was a good run from that one as well, looking at Bikinis running third. But Highest Honors now with only three career starts heads into the Travers with a little momentum with the win over the track.
Well, and this is a horse that there was plenty of upside. In fact, Jay Kirkman on Friday on the radio, Jay kind of singled him out and felt that even more so than looking at Bikinis, that he thought Highest Honors was the danger and the horse that had the most upside. 94 buyer in here for Highest Honors. So he's flirting with, you know, the right neighborhood heading toward Travers. The elite horses, and obviously we'll save the conversation for the Jim Dandy, for Dean Reeves and for Randy Hill. But, you know, that, the low mid to nine, mid-90s is making me competitive, but it's going to take a triple-digit fig to win the Travers, and probably a 102 to 105 range kind of a figure, because there's just a few horses that are, you know, already established at that level. But Highest Honor is certainly moving in the right direction. And, you know, looking at the Keeneys, looked like he was, you know, pedaling backwards on the turn, and he was, you know, in fact, I think Larry Comas even said dropping anchor or packing it in. And the next thing you knew, he kind of re-rallied and stayed on. Might have gotten a little lost on the turn. That happens with horses that are, you know, making that transition from elongated sprints, one-turn miles, etc., to two turns. So impressive all around. And I thought it was a fun race. Endorsed was a horse I didn't really know what. I know he was bred to two-turn, but I wasn't convinced that he was.
Looked good, though, I thought.
Yeah, he looked good.
The first way around two turns,
yeah.
So they benefit from that education. Anything else you want to hit on before we head to another break?
The Smithwick on Thursday.
Oh, my man got back in the winner's circle. I like Winston C.
Winston C. and took a lot of money, actually. Went off.
Now,
more,
I was shocked.
To pull an Andy Serling line, they knew, and how often do we say that about a steeplechase, mojo horse? But Winston C. was indeed the mojo horse, paid 870, but the actual favorite was Bedrock, the Leslie Young first time North America, and of course she had won on Wednesday. She had won the Kaiser with a first time North America, but Winston C. and Tom Garner overpowered that field. This was a very impressive win. Very happy for Jonathan Shepherd always. That was really entertaining, and the steeplechase season really off to a great start. The three races so far, only getting eight of them this year, and Bill Gallo, full fields and very competitive.
Yeah, that was one of the nice, that was as full of a field as you see in one of those great
races.
Well,
Sean Clancy said that he can't remember the last time he saw an also eligible in a chase stake. Should also mention, for those of you that aren't keeping close tabs on it, late Thursday evening, the circuit court judge in San Diego basically made his judgment for Jerry Hollendorfer. And then in the formal hearing on Friday, dotted the I's and stamped the T's. Hollendorfer expected back on the grounds as of this morning at Del Mar. And this is a win for anybody that believes in due process. Even though I know people say, well, the racetrack, the due process. I'm sorry. You can be as critical of Jerry Hollendorfer and the fact that he had a spate of fatalities over the winter, that was not the proper way to handle it, and we'll see where things go from here. And I know Hollendorfer very appreciative of what's transpired, as is the CTT, Daryl Vienna, the longtime trainer who's now a full-time attorney. He was always an attorney while he was a trainer, but now full-time, and the CTT joining Hollendorfer in the injunction suit. So for those of you that have not really been following it, not sure how many horses Hollendorfer will be able to reacquire right now, and how many horses Dan Ward, his longtime assistant, before that a Bobby Frankel assistant, and one of the most respected assistant horsemen of his kind anywhere in the country. Dan Ward getting a chance with some of the owners, including Michael Stinson, and we'll see. I saw Larry Best yesterday as we were leaving the racetrack, and we'll see what Larry Best is going to do. Certainly, this injunction and the result of it only deals with Del Mar for now. The next step, of course, will be going after the Stronach Group and trying to correct that wrong for the Santa Anita autumn meet. So we'll see where things go and how many horses that Jerry is able to reacquire. But from my point of view, this was the absolute right thing, and just very glad that Jerry's going to get a chance. And some people say, well, maybe he's learned a lesson. he's 73 years old, and he doesn't. He certainly hadn't had a record of fatalities that was garish, or considering the volume of starters that he has, he does not have a disproportionate amount of incidents. And so to single him out was really an injustice. So
victim of circumstances.
Yeah. Well, and also of convenience for the Stronach Group, who has done everything in their power from the start of this, going back to about February, to basically try to shield themselves and deflect responsibility.
Before we go to the break, just changing gears a little bit, because you mentioned Daryl Viana, a lawyer trainer. I had Orlando Noda on the show a couple of days ago.
The Noda brothers.
Who won with his first Saratoga starter with Delos the fight. Then the afternoon, I had him on in the morning talking about GT Sonia, a horsey bred. And he said, well, if that one doesn't win by three, I don't know what. And she goes out and wins, so he was 2-for-2. But his pre-training career, he was a shrimp fisherman.
I like
owned
it.
Owned a fleet. Went out and then he said, hey, I want to get back in the game. Sold my fleet, got back into the training.
And I'm looking, we followed each other on Twitter, and I'm looking forward to talking to him because as a food broker, I represented a company called Rice Road, and the chairman was a guy by the name of Shun Noda. And I mean, listen, I'm sure there's clans and I don't know how common a name Noda is, but I'm looking forward to meeting Orlando.
Yeah, no, it was fun. Nice young guy to do on the training scene. All right, take a break. P4 Natal is here. I don't know whether our other two are here yet, but we'll come back from the break. Be a surprise for you. Be a surprise for us, too. Stay tuned. Loose on the Lead continues.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
You like free money? Well, Capital OTB gives its players plenty of opportunities to cash in. At Capital OTB, there are so many ways for horse players to receive bonus dollars by simply participating in promotions such as our bankrolls, bounty bets, online handicapping contest, and much, much more. Plus, with Capital OTB's player rewards program, you get actual cash back. So what are you waiting for? Log on today at CapitalOTB.com or CapitalOTBBet.com and claim your free money.
We're back on Loose on the Lead, and happy to always say hello to the one and only Peter Thomas Fornatal. Good morning.
With pictures this time, Steve. We used to talk to you every Tuesday now, but it's good
to have
the visuals.
It's a video. That's true. So that,
it's my video debut with you.
I guess that's so. No, you've been on the show with us over the years. No, never?
On phone, but never in person sitting here.
I've had you.
I'm a regular with this man, but this is the first time I've been elevated to the ranks of having my two favorite Capital OTB hosts.
Well, and so for those of you that are at the races listeners and haven't seen Pete, now you know what I'm talking about being the king of the Brooklyn hipsters. it's the replete everything. It's the complete package.
Usually dressing up for me means a clean t-shirt, but between the PDJF event tonight over at Vapor Nightclub and this upcoming TRF Gumbo for Horses event on Tuesday, I'm bringing the fashion. I'm not going to let you show me up anymore with your sartorial splendor, you two.
Well,
whoa.
I knew that wasn't going to go far.
You two?
Well, I didn't want to insult
you
Seth. He's sitting right here.
Two as in also?
He looks very nice today. Really? We've got to give him that.
Where's your tie, by the way?
It's warm today, so there have been a few days, a few mornings this year where I've gone a little casual, slightly casual.
This is what I got to deal with. 10 years plus of this.
And also, I haven't had a good replenishment of my tie.
Now you're all right. Tina's been telling me do not foist sack of ties on him during the summer, but now I will.
I got to replenish.
Next Sunday.
Got to replenish. Oh, and last night, you make fun of my car. Last night there was a sobriety checkpoint out by my house, and so they're checking the car. They come to me, and the guy comes to me, "Hey, where you been?" And I just been to dinner, so I was at dinner. And he flashes the flashlight in the back car. He goes, "Wow, a lot of clothes back there." I said, "Yeah, well."
I'll give you, this is one you can appreciate. I'll give you a sobriety checkpoint story. It's my go-to. I've been, can't miss, in Montreal, when I was living in Montreal. And myself and a friend and another couple, and we're at my apartment, you know, downtown. And we're little pre-action before we go to Saint Laurent. So now we're cutting across Dr. Penfield, which goes across the McGill campus and basically takes you from, you know, one side of town more east over to Saint Laurent. So they got a sobriety checkpoint. Big French Canadian cop leans in the window. "Too drunk to drive?" I said, "Not yet." Guy starts to laugh. He's going to have fun. Have a good night. Be careful. Not yet.
That's good.
Maybe later. Not yet. Talk about what's going on. PDJF across the country raising awareness and money for the 60-plus permanently disabled jocks.
Tonight, Vapor Nightclub. This is part of the East Coast, West Coast Jockey Karaoke. Tickets still available. You can come down to Vapor Nightclub. It's starting basically right at the end of the race. So you can go right from here to over there. My professional role tonight is helping out with the pregame show. Going to be doing some updates on Facebook Live. You can get all the information, pdjf.org, and it's going to be a great night. It's always a lot of fun over there. And then Tuesday night, coming right back, my other favorite equine-related charity, Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, very proud to be an ambassador for them. We're doing the Gumbo for Horses event. Hattie's Classic Gumbo going to be there. Racing City Brewery is the place, and you can get tickets in advance, trfinc.org /players. You can also get them at the door, a little more expensive at the door, but going to be a lot of fun. It's good to be up here and betting horses and having fun and doing media hits, but it's also fun to do some work for these important charities that help keep the game going in terms of finding homes for horses and helping out the riders whose careers are over and need the support and assistance. So it's going to be a fun few days. And it's great to kick it off talking with you guys.
Capital OTB, a sponsor also of Gumbo for Horses. So I'm over. I'm there.
Excellent.
The jockey karaoke tonight, if you've never been, it's so ridiculous and preposterous.
Nice with the simulcast. It should double the fun.
Yeah. Yeah. It should be a lot of fun. So head over there if you can. And if you're listening to this after the fact, pdjf.org. Or, you know, if you want to help horses, trfinc.org. And you got the hay drive, the hay bale drive. You can do very, you know, automatic by phone. You can contribute very, it's painless, and it goes to a good cause. And every dollar on all of these areas really are invaluable, no doubt.
That's right. A great list of upcoming events also at the TRF website. They're doing an open barn event on Monday night as well. There's lots of ways to get in on these events and the fun. And as Steve says, the donations themselves, obviously, that's what it's all about. So even if you can't make it and you want to help out, you're not limited. And as for jockey karaoke, the clips, if you can't make it, if you can't follow along live, there'll be a lot in terms of clips via that Facebook Live feed, and I'm sure we'll get them sent out around Twitter as well. Curious to see who the big winners and losers are, not just on the racetrack today at Saratoga, but also singing tonight over at Vegas.
I had Dylan Davis on Friday. I said, "You going to sing?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "You rehearse it all?" He said, "No." But some of those guys take it seriously. There's usually a couple of them that are like, "Oh, they're pretty good."
Well, they all have their own specialty. Like when it comes to the foot race, you know, Luis Saez, although who was the bug? There was a bug boy the other year or two ago.
Oh, you're right.
Bug boy that just absolutely was Angel Cruz.
could have been. Yeah, you're
Angel,
right.
Angel Cruz, it was like an Olympic effort. I mean, he distanced them, but there's so many nice events around the country, Midwest, and Nancy LaSala, we should point out too. Nancy works year-round with the PDJF and does a phenomenal job. So do what you can. Pete, what about your usual hijinks and antics?
We've been pretty well behaved, actually, at the Paddock Bar, sort of surprisingly.
It's early yet.
Yeah, the extra time in the meet. We'll ramp up as things go along. There'll be boozy milkshakes before it's all said and done.
That's Tina. That's the boozy milkshake Barbie.
My betting results so far haven't warranted the boozy milkshake, but we'll get there.
I also know our colleague, you and a whole group, there's the doubleheader that comes up a little bit later in the season, so folks may see across the street playing the horses as well.
Oh, absolutely. The Degenerate Doubleheader, an annual event, a weekly or daily event for some up in these parts. For us, we try to make a big thing out of it, though, one time a meet. That'll be happening. We haven't settled on the date yet. It's usually the Wednesday of Alabama or of Travers Week. Get a chance to get together with a whole crew, bring in some new people who aren't in the day-to-day goings-on over at the Paddock Bar, and maybe we'll see you guys this year.
That'd be fun. Well,
I usually show up for a couple of races over there.
That's right in your
exactly
right in your wheelhouse.
Exactly, Degenerate double header.
Well, last week, right? You had the big simulcast that you did. Didn't you do a couple of live hits from the harness track?
Well, last month.
Last month.
Yeah. Tomorrow night we're at Yonkers live. So there you go.
You're kidding?
No, we're going down live from Yonkers tomorrow
night. Unbelievable. He's amazing.
Indefatigable.
That's it. Wear a tie. Speaking of doubleheaders, we got the doubleheader that is one of the great entries now in and around racing. Randy Hill and Dean Reeves, another win, taxed yesterday. Danny Gargan, and one of the great claims, one of the great claim stories that continues to evolve. We're going to take a break. We'll come back, and we will go as long as they allow us with Dean Reeves and Randy Hill next on Loose on the Lead. Stay with us.
It's been home to some of the sport's biggest moments, monumental achievements, and extraordinary records. At Santa Anita, we'll set another before the first gate even opens, as the Breeders' Cup returns for a record 10th time. This November, the stars will shine, champions will be crowned, and when the unbelievable happens, you'll want to be there to see it. The Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Visit Rivers Casino and Resort, the Capital Region's only destination for live table game action and the hottest new slots paying out millions. And they're off. Horse betting is now at Rivers Casino and Resort with Capital off-track betting terminals and live tellers located just off the gaming floor at Van Slick's. Get in on all the action at Rivers Casino and Resort.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
We're back on Loose on the Lead, and I don't want to say we saved the best for last, but we certainly saved the most the most ebullient and deliriously happy for last, because the ownership tandem that was born in the boxes at Saratoga.
Absolutely.
Yep.
That's where it all happened, and it has brought together two of the most respected and appreciated ownership couples in the game, in the Hills and the Reeves. And I do not know of anybody having more fun than you guys.
I certainly don't.
Yeah.
I couldn't be having more fun if I dreamed it. I used to always tell my wife, if this is a dream and you wake me up, you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
It's been, you know, you guys, of course, the Reeves had, you know, the big run with Mucho Macho Man, and, it, you know, Randy, you had 15, 18, almost 20 years of, you know, of mixed success. You had your nice horses.
I did.
But it seems like this year, and you being a little bit of the linchpin between this horse, Tax, and yesterday, Vekoma, all through the winter and through the bluegrass win, it's just been every horse that you've gotten involved in has produced almost.
Divine Miss Gray, don't forget
that. Divine Miss Gray goes back, that's your tie to Danny.
Yep.
That's how you got involved with Danny. There's a million stories that we can do. Let's start with Tax, though, and just the origins. There was the claim, and how did it all gel?
Well, it's a funny story, because Danny, I get involved with Danny when he claimed Divine Miss Gray. The horse went on to win 6 or 7 stakes races. And then Danny called me when he was claiming Tax, and I said, Danny, I've got too many horses. I'm out. So then he ran, I guess he ran in the, he ran third in the, what did he run? Third in the, I forget.
Remsen.
In the Remsen.
Yes. Remsen.
The Remsen. So I called Danny back and I said, I need to be back in. He said, well, it's not going to be the same $50,000 claim. So I said, hold on, I'll call Dean. We'll come up with something. So that's how we got back in.
Well, and explain, Dean, too, how you guys, the origins of your partnership operations.
Well, you know, coming to Saratoga, I'd walk by Randy's, box, where everything that happens in Saratoga happens at that box. And, we just kept seeing each other every day, and so finally we decided to go to dinner. And it was kind of interesting. We found out we had a lot of similarities, and I think the same passion. And, it's kind of interesting that when I was about 12 years old, a guy would come by, and I'd sell magazines during the afternoons, and a guy would come by the neighborhood. He'd pick up 4 or 5 kids, and he would carry you to another neighborhood, and he'd put you out. You'd go door-to-door selling magazines.
That's like those gypsy hustlers.
Exactly, and I thought, I must have been the only kid still living that ever did that. And so Randy and I are having dinner, and he says, oh, yeah, he says, I used to do that.
I sold greeting cards.
So anyway, we found that we had a lot of similarities, a lot of things we did in life trying to get to this point. And so we said, let's get some horses together. So the first few that we got together didn't do too well. But we stayed the course.
WB Jet Setter.
He was okay. He was okay.
I think he was.
Yeah. But he was okay, and we kept firing at it and trying, which you got to do. And some of them just didn't pan out. We've bought from Argentina. We've bought now from France and England and all around. But, I think we're getting better at it, and finally it's starting to gel.
Or we're getting luckier.
Right. And dumb luck is just so great, and you just don't want to abuse it.
Well, a lot to say for it. I mean, you get lucky. I mean, there's also some power in the numbers. I mean, when you're spreading, and also for you, you know, some people think, well, they're buying ready-made horses, or, you know, but at this point, it's such a proven and established method. And in fact, you've overlapped with a few. I know that you guys have got Adam Wachtel and Gary Barber. You ran in yesterday, Channel Maker. You could have
great partners. Great partners. We were close to a double. So
absolutely.
I mean, we got beat about a length for that race, and that's just been a fun horse.
I think it's the story of the game. So there you are. You're the favorite. You're the favorite of Bowling Green. You lose the race. You think you're going to win, and you're like so down. an hour later, you forgot it, you even ran into bowling.
Yeah.
It's the highs and the lows of this game. I mean, if you're not excited when you win, you shouldn't be in this game because the lows will kill you.
Let's pick them up and then take us through. We'll watch them from the far turn here when Tex takes the lead. War of Will had gotten out there and was setting some, you know, not super fast fractions, 24 and change, 48 and change. But Tex takes the lead on the turn here and then just holds off a determined Tacitus. What was your feeling coming down the lane?
I never thought he'd give it up. I mean, I know this horse, he tries every time. I mean, when I look at this replay, I looked at one point, Tacitus kind of got ahead in front of us, but he picked up another gear here. I mean, he just said, right there, see? And then he says, no.
Yeah.
I mean, it just...
I was screaming, change your leads. And I don't know why I was saying that, but I couldn't think of anything else to say.
I was screaming, where's the wire? Where's the wire?
You know, change your leads, change your leads. And then once I saw we won, I picked up this chair and I was going to do a Bobby Knight. But I put it back down, fortunately, and Patty gave me a big hug. And so everything went okay from there.
Danny tackled me. We ended up on the chair.
So... Yeah, it's such a thrill, that last bit when you know it's close and you see the horse and the jockey fighting to get that last little bit. And I got to tell you, Irad, what a great race. He did a perfect job. And I was so thrilled to see how fired up he was after the race to win that. If you watch that, he was fired up.
I agreed. You know, a couple of things at work, and I'm sure you've heard and you know, saw the discussion subsequently. I mean, obviously, the inside was not the place to be.
Right.
And you know, for those, I hear the silliness about they set the track up so that no, we had a racetrack that actually took rain like they did years ago, that wasn't sealed, and then you had an authentic muddy track that took a day and a half to dry out. And as it does that, you get certain parts of the racetrack that are going to be different. Today, probably, you would think that Glenn Kozak has had a chance, you know, to really groom and even the track out as best he can. But you do recall that we had that rain and the cancellation on Thursday. Then you had, even though it was a beautiful day, we've gotten so used to the sealing of tracks to keep rain out of them. That whole era may be coming to a close, given what transpired at Santa Anita this winter, and this whole discussion about sealing tracks and its negative effect on horses. So a drying out track, I mean, even late into Friday, there was still plenty of moisture and still some mud being kicked up on the track. That's the way it used to be if you've only been playing the game a certain period of time. But the inside was clearly deep, and if anybody that dove down inside, they were doomed, and that happened a little bit to Tacitus, I thought. And Jose Ortiz did it earlier with Al Gold's horse.
Well, you know, all those horses ran a good race. They ran hard. Turning for home, it was anybody's race.
Agreed.
Well,
agreed.
But I think I read, we're talking about the tracks the way they used to be, jockeys used to always take advantage of that. And I think Irad knew that, and he certainly wanted that horse on the rail.
Yeah,
and
invite him in a little bit.
Yeah, of course he did. I mean, and a good jockey should do that.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about, you know, being prominent owners and obviously racing at various venues around the country. What's it like, and what's it mean to win a race like this up at Saratoga?
Well, it's the dream. I bought two horses and said, I'm going to race in Saratoga once in my life. I'm going to buy two horses. That's going to be the end. That was 25 years ago. And I don't know how many horses and how much money you go. But, I mean, you always talk about, can we win the Jim Dandy? Can you win the Trip? People used to say, what do you want to win most? I said, I don't know, probably the Derby, but maybe the Travers. I'm not sure. I mean, this is the place to be. And the great thing about Saratoga is not only the history and the people, but, you know, people don't go home after the track. When you're in another track, people go home. Here, you go out to dinner, people are there. I mean, we walked to the Seals last time, we got a standing ovation. It's a chill, you know. It's like, you're dreaming all your life this is going to happen. And I'm sitting there going, Christ, it happened.
That's great.
Yeah.
You should also note, career best fake, 98 buyer. And that puts him, you know, knocks him on the door, looking forward and looking ahead to Travers.
Well, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody said to us yesterday, and I didn't think about it, and you guys could agree or disagree, but because the 3-0 division is the way it is, you know, this horse could end up to be the horse of the year. You know, if he goes on, wins the Travers, the Breeders' Cup, he's going to be there. So, you know, it's open. And he's getting better. Well, I mean, 2 year old right now.
Yeah, 3 year old.
That's what I mean. 3 year old.
Well, he's got, you know, the race to me that was really impressive, considering what had transpired leading up to the Belmont, where there was real concern about his status, because Danny was fighting a hoof issue,
right?
That, you know, that was taking time, training time away.
Absolutely.
And then he runs this courageous fourth, beaten two lengths,
yeah,
in the Belmont. And what can you say? You know, for those that forget the origins, this is a Claiborne, Dill Schneider bred that has got all the Claiborne family strength to it.
Right.
An arch out of a Giants Causeway mare. Yeah, this is a horse that's a classic type.
Let's go long, get better. He's a yelling, he should get better as he goes along. And Danny has just done a magnificent job. I don't think Dean and I could say enough about
yeah.
it. He's every move he's made has been right. He skipped the Preakness. You know, when you're a trainer, you're under some pressure from owners because you want to do things. Danny was having none of it, and he did everything right, and he fought through that hoof issue, and he got some new shoes. He got blue ones. And the horse started to feel better. And then, I don't know if you saw his last work, but I looked at my last work and I said, Dean, I think
47 flat. That's yeah. the 70.
Well, you know, they talk about that being such a great claim. It might be that it's a really great training job.
As well.
You know, you can claim a lot of horses, but you got to train them. And Danny, Rachel, and that entire staff have just done a spectacular job with him.
Let's catch up as well. Beside Tax, and of course, pointing toward Travers, you had already won up here, Dean, City Man.
Thank
right?
you.
With yeah. With Christophe Clement
right.
and the Searles, beaten Patty
right.
Searle.
Right.
And what else? So a channel maker we talked about. Shippy. You had Shippy in the Skylarville opening day.
And ran
all right.
She was inside in the mud and all that and had a tough trip. So it was a gutsy performance by her to get beat a length, maybe three quarters of a length. So she's doing really well, and we'll come back later with her.
No, we thought if we'd have scratched out of that and run against the boys, I think we'd have won. I think she would have won that race.
It's an interesting, you know what? You might not be wrong. The pull of Wesley Ward, that's a Wesley trick.
Yeah, actually, right.
Dean, with Tango Uniform Racing, you've got another Clement, Feel Glorious. We saw win the Memories of Silver, or late spring, and waiting for an assignment. And I know she's working up here.
Yeah, she had a really nice work yesterday.
Okay.
We've got a list out that Christophe and I are talking about, but she'll run, I believe, based off of our conversation this morning, looks like here at Saratoga. Next, maybe in 2 weeks.
Okay.
And don't forget Hotsy Totsy.
Yeah.
Also ran third in
Sandringham.
What
a great trip we had. I don't know if you've ever been to Ascot, but it's spectacular.
I sent them to everybody.
We saw the picture.
Did you guys wear the...
You have to.
Oh, yeah.
You have to.
I couldn't get under the door, but, with the top hat.
I told him it looked like Abraham Lincoln.
I was going to say, if you had a beard, they would have taken you for Lincoln.
Yeah, they would have. So
she's going to run in a risk, of course.
Very nice. And always misbehaving.
Nice into mischief. Yeah. He got a lot out of that race yesterday, and hopefully we'll get him back in for the meets out and a little bit further distance.
Yeah, he's the real deal.
Well, and we're not done. They got more. It's unbelievable.
We
today.
Got that bluegrass replay if you want to
see for some Vacoma.
Go back and take a look at
actually,
that one.
And this is fun because Vacoma became a cause celeb of sorts with his crazy action
right.
with the paddling motion. Watch that left front, and you got a big kick out of it.
Oh, she doesn't do this when he doesn't do this when he works.
No, it's only when he's all out. And people were just aghast. Nobody wanted to believe that that he could stay sound and that he could not. This is the bluegrass, but
then he ran great.
When are we going to see him?
December. He caught a quarter. It was worse than we thought. He's a young horse. He wasn't three till the Preakness, and he lost some weight training. He caught the quarter. And, George said, let's give him a little time off. We'll run him back in the stakes in December. George did a great job with this horse. We were up here in Saratoga, partners with the Gatzes. And we wanted this horse to run up here. And we said, come on, George. And George said, listen, I got a good horse. No, you guys, leave me alone. I'll tell you when horses are going to run. So I said to Mike, let's shut up and let the guy be paid to his job. So that horse is a very, very good.
Talk about the two today. You mentioned Matt Gatsis and the Gatsis family. You're in with three jokers in the opener today. John Terranova trains. This is a first-time starter, a twirling candy colt. Did get the rail and has to run against some horses with experience. But I thought, based on some of the work tab notes, looked okay.
Looks pretty good. If we were in the one hole, I'd be very, very confident. But this horse is going to run well.
Three jokers, the one in the first. And then you got to wait all afternoon for the nightcap as well. A first-timer in the nightcap. These are state-bred maiden 40s. You got the Freud Philly, Deja Raconte, with Danny Gargan, and this one also looks live.
He looks all right. She's a nice filly. I like her. She can be a little crazy at times, and that you can lose a race when it happens. But if she doesn't win today, she's going to be nice down the road.
Well, and that one you bought at OBS March this last year,
yeah.
And because these are three and ups, not 2-year-olds. The first race is 2-year-olds, but Andy Bednall. Bred this, and Bednall breeds a nice horse.
She's a nice filly. She really is.
Well, always for you. When you guys win, it's always entertaining, and it's always fun.
And
there's a great picture. Dean and I give each other a high five, and Danny's off the air behind us. He's got somebody's arms. I'm going to frame that and put it in my office.
I got a good one of you as well yesterday. Leading them in, and
J.J. Fletcher used to say, Randy, when you win a race, everybody at the track knows.
Exactly.
If you're not excited, what are we doing this for?
That's true.
I see people that win a grade one, they walk down there like they're going down to get breakfast. I'm like, jeez, man, get happy, get excited, get crazy.
Yeah.
Well, the other guy you should bring in, you want that kind of excitement? Al Gold, who comes down the stairs absolute, waving and
I think it's enough of the two of us.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we're okay here.
We were excited to say the least, and because it was the Jim Dandy,
and ran a terrific race, and feels most importantly feels like he's moving forward again.
Yeah. He came out of the race great.
Well, because you don't know the 3-year-old first half of the year, the whole Triple Crown grind. You don't know. How much you got chewed up? Speaking of horses and keeping track, Mucho Macho Man on the stud career, solid start. I mean, it's not super splashy, but getting winners and what's the status?
He's just doing fabulous. I think. I mean, you're talking stakes horses on turf, stakes horses on dirt. He's getting the numbers. He's getting solid winners. And we had a nice crop this past year. We were close to a little over 85, I think, 85, 86, something like that. And so he's getting there, but he's throwing some nice foals. They're runners, and I couldn't be any happier with what he's done so far.
Haven't looked in the catalog for the yearling sale. Any in the sale?
Not a one.
No, huh? All right.
They're going to be hard to find. He had a short, maybe 35 foals that third year. So this go-round, there's not many yearlings out there.
This is
where there's that gap.
Right.
And I went and bought a lot of weanlings by him last year. So we've got a few at TaylorMade.
Nice. So you'll see them next year as 2-year-olds.
So we'll have them.
Well, and when we talk pedigree and sales with Sid Fernando on the radio, the third crop, that's the toughest one. And if you make it through that and out the other side.
Well, I mean, I think he's back and going up, and people have seen that they're getting runners, and the breeders are coming back.
Nice.
So
nice.
Doing great.
Dean Reeves and the wives. We didn't give the wives credit.
They hold the whole thing together.
Well, that's for sure. We know that.
Somebody said to my wife, Marina, they said, so are you enjoying it? She goes, this year I am.
the years when you're kicking the cat is not as
this year it's okay that I'm buying horses. Other years it's not so okay.
Well,
Patty says, I don't have a gambling habit. I have a horse buying habit.
That's worse.
That's accurate. K can't thank you enough.
And thank you.
Couldn't be happier.
Oh, thank you for having us. It's great. Great to be appreciate it, as always.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
We look forward to another big celebration in the Winner's Circle four weeks down the road.
Let's do it. We'll be here.
Yeah. Randy Hill and Dean Reeves, and earlier Pete Fornatale and Louis Carvalho this morning on Loose on the Lead. Seth?
We'll wrap it up for this edition of Loose on the Lead. We're here every Sunday morning from 10 until 11 a.m. or somewhere thereabouts, as we're a little later today. But plenty to talk about after the big day yesterday. Don't forget Low Rollers today. I always want to tout that because it's a lot of fun. Jump in and play the Low Rollers.
And in the Beat Pick Challenge, this is feeder number four. Feeder number four today. Yesterday, I used the Bowling Green. I went with Sadler's Joy, and I haven't seen how many people picked Channel Cat, which would have been a pretty high risk kind of a selection. Today, I went with the Amsterdam. I'm taking Nitrous, but this is a contentious group.
Oh, absolutely.
In the Amsterdam today.
12 that you can make a case for 7 of them. All right, we'll wrap it up for this edition of Loose on the Lead. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next Sunday morning at 10 a.m.
From the backstretch at Saratoga, this is Loose on the Lead with Steve Bick and Seth Merrill. Loose on the Lead is sponsored by Thoroughgraph. Everything you need to win. Visit Thoroughgraph.com. The new Colonial Downs and the Virginia Equine Alliance. Hill and Dale, home of perennial standouts. Curlin, Kitten's Joy, Midnight Loot, and emerging stallions, Violence, Byron, and Army Mule. Visit hillanddalefarms.com for consignments at the 2019 yearling sales. Case Supply, the kitchen and bath professionals across upstate New York. Showrooms in Syracuse, Auburn, and Amsterdam. Make your dream kitchen and bath a reality. Visit casesupplyinc.com. And McMahon of Saratoga, standing breakout stallion central banker. Number one in New York and among the nation's leading young sires. Visit McMahonThoroughbred.com.